It's in the Tafnun Aleph, Siv Aleph, called by the Mishnah Berurah, Siv Katan Yud Beis. I feel like Mimalam Gecholim. So he said, just heating them from the outside is not sufficient.
Why?
Siv Tafnun Aleph, Siv Aleph, Siv Katan Yud Beis. But once you fill it up with coals, so the chara, the heat it from the outside. But if you fill it with coals, we could argue that's considered like a hesek from inside, which would remove any possible blias which are there. We say no, we cannot allow it. Why not? Because we're afraid that he will not put in enough coals and they will not do it the way he's supposed to, because he's scared it's going to break. The normal way you would use you take a kli, the normal way you use these pots, because they had the heat from the outside. The chometz was in the inside, it's absorbing from the inside. So go fill up the coals. I don't want to fill up the coals. I'm not made to handle that. Now, mashen ken tanurim, fill shokli cheres, even the tanurim made out of earthenware, fill ozen shematalvin or son, shadarkin tomid lahasik meifnim, the coals were inside. Over there, lo chashid and dilmapaki umar al hesek. They were not worried about that the person is scared about it breaking and he will not heat it well. He will heat it well, but obviously he has to heat it enough that it should actually start, it'll start getting red hot. That's libun. There he talks about more at length couching out the ovens. That's the same one talks about the aloha baking matzahs. So they used to, they couldn't necessarily afford a separate oven for baking matzahs. They would kasher out their regular oven. So that's a pretty scary thought process. You want to make sure that it's done properly. Otherwise, you're dealing with, you're not doing a mitzvah, you're doing an aveira. So he goes to those halachas over there. So this was filling it with coals. Now he says, if you put it back into the firing kiln, where things were made originally, that's a very high temperature, and that indicates that you really don't worry about the kli, and therefore the leaven would work over there. But to the regular ovens is not sufficient. Again, we're still worried about the person. Here, the concern of him being hesitant about doing it well, it would be not that you're not going to, the heat is the heat. Well, yasha sham harbe, he'll take them out before they get fully heated. Yotzien min hatanur, or kadam shislavnu, take it out before it gets heated totally. Mashen b'kibshin mislavnu afilu b'shoa muetes. However, in the large kiln, the nature is that it gets heated up to the high temperatures very quickly, so that concern is not a concern. Okay, then he said something which is requires libun. You shouldn't use it even for cold without hechsher. Even if you washed it out well, you rubbed it out well, we can't use it. You might come to use it for hot. By other Yisurim, also a person should not use it for cold, because he might come to use it for hot. So this is not limited only to the chumrah of chometz, which is chorus. It applies to any of Eru. So nevela is a lav, and Eru Pesach chometz is a lav also. So if this would apply already from Eru Pesach after chatzos. And then he says to Anyar Desem Kuchav Aleph, some of the Derech Roy Mutal Yishtamash Boy Im Hidicha B'Shiv Shef Tchilo. There it points out that if a person wants to, he's not using it in a constant basis, but in a random fashion, he uses it occasionally. So in a case where it's clean, totally clean, using it for cold, it's permitted. Because the Xer, they might come to use it for hot, they're not worried about that possibility. I mean, using it just a minimal amount. Okay? Finally,
so here, we're talking about Baal Bayis and you might want to do the stuff at home.
Right.
And so if there's some place where there's Ashkacha from, say, the Rav at Shechuna or the Ir, this same thing would be okay then.
Actually, in general, then, we would not do it because of this. You know, once they set up this fear, we're not going to, unless it's intrinsic in the action, there's not going to be a problem. For example, the kibshin, where there's no way to put it in and protect it. But if a person, he'll take it out too quickly, he'll pour the coals out quickly, you know, do something, start seeing his kli starting to plots, you know, he'll go and grab it out of the fire. Okay, thank you. You know,
even with a reputable mishkiach,
yeah, we're not going to amount to that, right? Okay. So in regards to our ovens, it's interesting. There's a big discussion exactly how to kasher our ovens. What's necessary for our ovens? One way our ovens have a certain mile over them that, in general, there is not necessarily direct contact between the foodstuffs and the oven. Maybe the racks, but not the rest of the oven. And same thing during Pesach. You know, you're going to have that. You're going to kosher it. Again, there won't be direct contact between what you're cooking and the oven, except for the racks, which you can cover, etc. And of course, our ovens are metal. Now, a lot of our ovens are covered with an enamel, and that becomes a little more complicated. You deal with the enamel is the same halacha as klicheres. Or alternatively, you do with enamel like glass, which we'll see later on that for Pesach, room walls, you don't kosher glass. The assumption of halacha is that you can kosher it. The preferred way of koshering it is 1 mile, which we'll see as we go along in the discussion when it comes to chametz. We discussed this once. That we deal, there's a Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah, which talks about the koshering kelim. Getting kelim from goyim, the more differentiated team, it's called isura bala and etera bala. Isura bala means it went in, it was absorbed in, it, as it went into the kli, already was isur. Etera bala means that when it went into the kli, it was permitted, and it came prohibited in the walls of the kli. The example of the more gives is noiser. Person cooks a korban, takes a piece of meat from the korban, boils it in a pot. Right now, it's permitted to eat. It's the flavor from the korban goes into the walls. It sits overnight. It becomes noiser. Now it's usher to eat. But you're talking about the prohibition of noiser taking effect on this blia. It's already in a state of a blia. So Morris says in that situation where it's a terabola, we have certain leniencies in regards to the kashering of the kelim. There's mechalek v'shadim how you deal with chametz. Chametz is different than noiser, that it's already chometz. As opposed to noiser has to actually get a status of noiser in the wall. On the other hand, it's mutter right now. So it's like noiser. So that's mechalek v'shadim. Do we deal with it as heter bola or yisur bola? The Iker P'sak is we deal with it as heter bola, and that has certain leniencies. The biggest leniency which that produces is we can't rely on hagola in the places where you need libun, but in the case of a terabola, we could. So the chatchila remark around it, but in cases where it's not possible to do libun, or it's difficult to do libun, full libun, we rely on hagola. So what we have to accomplish when we're heating our ovens is an equivalent of a hagola process. Well, obviously you can't immerse your oven in a boiling gigantic pot of water, right? You don't have it, the ovens don't come out like that. But you could heat it to the point where it would approximate the same process of what Hagola is doing to it. Hagola does it, obviously, 212, but it does it with the power of the water processing. Over here, that you're going to have to do a burning process, which will be equivalent of that. So that's what the person put that as Liban Kal. We'll see what that is later on exactly. So Liban Kal is easier to reach, obviously, than what's called Liban Gomer. Liban Gomer is that it has to get to the point where it's going to be the color of the item will actually change. I don't know if you've ever seen some of these videos about the kosher in the houses. They come with a blowtorch and it doesn't do anything. To actually heat up a piece of metal to the point where it actually changes color, you have to set each little corner, each little square, for 2 or 3 minutes. Then you move to the next one, 2 or 3 minutes. Next one, 3 minutes. It's an extremely tedious process to kosher out with Liban Gomer. So, in case that we don't need Liban Gomer, we're very excited. We don't have to deal with that. For example,
like the self clean.
So self clean is considered definitely Liban Kal, possibly even Liban Gomer, but it's definitely Liban Kal. So for kashering for Pesach, most places can hold that sufficient, because it's terrible. If first one have a situation where they, you know, there was they bought something, they found afterwards that it was tray for meat, you know, and it was so if it goes in with a medium of liquid, so you kasher with Hagolah. It goes in with a medium of a person roasted it in his grill, he has to do Liman Gomer in that situation. You have to get everything, which all of it have to get to the point where it's red hot. So that's a little more challenging how to do that. So that's our ovens nowadays. So most persons can say that you can get, you know, even if you don't have a self-cleaning, if you put it to the highest setting, you let it sit for like an hour, in the high setting, that, you know, the heat starts, you know, the metal starts really heating up, so that would be sufficient. There are some people which are machmer on it still. Moshe sounded like he was machmer on it. He would suggest that you line your oven this way. After you do that, you still line it, and then
foil or something? What do you put?
Well, he actually, you remember these, the Pesach, the oven inserts, the, you know, tin, the metal tin, you know. You go to the blech maker. Right. You go to your tin worker. Make an insert. It was, you know, had six sides, had four or five sides, and it had a door in the front, and everything was baked inside there. Brother, we didn't have a self-cleaning oven the first Pesach we got married. My brother-in-law and I, we made Pesach together. So I was semich on the Pesach, which held that you didn't have to do that. And he was mocked that you had to do that. So my shir came for Yom Tov. He said, you made fun of us. That, you know, we're both in Kol together. We're good friends. But we can't even get to figure out how to, you know, he didn't eat our cakes. Because they were baked in this, you know, treif oven. You know, this non, you know, Pesach oven. Because, that was the light moments in our Pesach preparations. One thing you have to aware is the door, though. The door doesn't get as hot as the rest of the oven. So really, the door should be covered.
Right.
You really should cover the door with you know, because whatever bleeds. Plus, it's glass, so the remote holds it. We don't kosher glass with Pesach, so you really should cover the door with foil. Okay. Beis. Kuvia. What is a kuvia? Shuklish oisin milavenim v'offer. It's a kli made out of bricks and dirt. Va'oifin umatagnin boy. You would bake inside of it, and you would fry inside of it. V'chein tanner cotton shikarn fiddlier. Whether that's a griddle, whatever that exactly is. So these things are seikim mibachutz. Also, that was over by Pesach. The chamash boy niflat b'kach. V'imilo gecholim in b'fnim ashori. So, if you heated it up only from the outside, that would not kasher. If you filled it up with gecholim inside, it's mutter. So, this is different than the first sif, because since this kubia was made much more sturdy, the person was not afraid that it would burst. See, so he would fill it up with coals properly, and then you're allowed to rely on that. Yud Zayin, Hesekim b'chutz, also, Kein Tzarech Lomar. What's a Lomar? The Machosh, Hesekim b'chutz, L'mahani Hesek L'hotzi Abalua. Since you normally heat it from the outside, that will not take out the flavors which are absorbed. Okay. Over here it's permitted. Tatam. The Stambuch is ain dark at least. Okay, normally it doesn't burst. So this concern that he will be overly cautious with the item is not applied. We're not worried about him not doing it well. The bricks, which have been, they've been fired in a kiln, and that's how you made the bricks. You would take clay, fire it in the kiln, make it into a brick. It's considered klicheris. If while he was cooking inside this kuvia, something spilled, and there was a hot chometz item, shel chometz, and the kana lo b'libun kedina. The only way you would be able to kasher it is by doing this process of libun on the item. Valderach she's bar b'simon tav sabachavov, kamokim halibun mahani lehem fil tech tenerim shalano to chay salayo kumashu b'kaderis. But over here it works because we're not afraid the person's going to be cautious about it. Bricks which were just heated in the sun, they're considered kelim made out of just out of earth, and they've not considered, that's not halachically considered, they've been changed to klicheris. For those kelim, hagolah works. If they were baked out directly on the bricks, so you would have to do a process of libun to kasher it. Mashiach told me in Europe, so the way they used to bake bread, they had an oven, it was made out of bricks, and they'd fill it up with coals inside, and they'd heat up this, you know, this coals, and then they would put the bread. They move it to one half of the, they spread out over the whole floor. The whole floor would heat up, very hot. And they move over to one side, and they put the bread down. That would bake. They take those out. They move all the coals over to the other, back to this side, and bake another side. And they would keep doing back and forth. And as they would bake once a week for the whole week, because it turns out to work to heat up the oven like that.
So that's why they kept moving the coals back and forth.
So it would keep moving it, so it would keep, you know, reheating one side to the other side. So when the kasher, then they would, the kasher for Pesach, you basically pile up with coals to the point that the bricks would get red hot. So, you know, you had coals, you had fire, and, you know, and it was wood. I mean, it was wood burning, you know, they chop wood and stick it in, just get tremendous amount of heat. They would bake two foods worth a week, once a week. A food is 10 kilo. And they'd bake 44 pounds of flour. And they would knead it by hand. And it's gigantic. You just get your whole body into it. They knead it by hand. Draw the water. Everything was the whole process. It was a full day's worth of work. They would work the whole day baking. Okay. What? Needing 5 pounds of dough by hand is considered challenging. Sakinim, if you have knives. Magilim akli rishon. Bread. Magilim akli rishon amatorn. So a knife. So at the greatest level of its usage is going to be a akli rishon. You'd be cutting into something which was, they didn't use it directly on the fire. You didn't put it on the knife on the fire. You would take it off of the fire and then cut it. So it's like a klirishin. So you kasher it in a klirishin. You do hagola with a klirishin, and that's mutter. Klirishin nikra, what's considered a klirishin? Shetichu b'mayim aloesh, that water was heated directly on the fire. Filo ein ato alo eish rak shodan reseach. Even if it's no longer on the fire, as long as it's still boiling, which really, practically we don't really have that. Because we hold it when you put it in for Hagolah, it has to continue to boil. So then when you put it has to go back to boiling. Sometimes you put an item in, well, if there's no heat source, it's not going to revert back to boiling. Before you do a gola, you have to file them well. You have to do some type of abrasion. Either on a knife sharpener or on a millstone. To remove all of the rust. You can't have any rust on the item when you're kashering it. Or any rust which has any physical mamushes to it. Hilchah gemesh begumas, if there are depressions in it. You're not able to clean it out well in those depressions. And merla hagola will not work. Here's what does the word hagola mean? Hagola means haflata, the act of expelling. Shakelim poltim ho isra shebehem. The keli will, the utensil will expel all of the absorbed isser. Vahumi loshen shuroi ibar velo yagil. I'm not sure where that's taken from, but the word is like yil is, will it become, I'm not sure what the pasuk means, but it means it's going to, will it not expel? It will expel. So he's saying Hagol is not sufficient, Levad is not sufficient. But in that situation where there are gumas, you'd have to heat it up and welcome a gumas to the place where the gumas are. So those places have to be heated to their. So you'd put the example which Mishabur says, you'd put coals on that spot to the height, to the point where it gets it burns everything out. There's no requirement of removing the chalura, the rust, before libum, because part of the libum process is that it burns everything out, so it's not going to... Whereas the hagola process, you're afraid that if there's an extra layer on top preventing it from expelling, it's going to be a problem. V'hanadan shel asakinim, ein lo tekana b'hagola, the sheath, which is used to hold the knife, Hagol is not sufficient because they're afraid that there might be little pieces which are gathered inside of there. And so being Magol, it doesn't help. Magol helps. Hagol only helps for dealing with something which is absorbed in the walls of the kli. It pulls it out. But if you have crumbs in the bottom of your nadan, you have crumbs in the bottom of the sheath, you have crumbs. So being Magol, that's not going to change anything. You cannot use the sheath for the knife. You should not put the knife into a sheath during Pesach. Concerned maybe there is some chametz there. So the Mishabura does say, well, one thing you could do is you could open up the stitches of the sheath. Now it's totally flat and clean it out well. That would be sufficient. They're trying to, you know, wipe everything out without actually opening it up is not realistic. Okay. I want to do the following. Before we do the Mishnah, I want to do the next two Sifim. Because, as we discussed before, the way Shulchan Aruch writes, we would have written, the first Sif would be, listen, okay, what is the Hagolah process? Second step would be, what is the Liban process? Then I'm telling you, okay, when do you do this, when do you do that? I won't jump right away to give you examples. That's not the best way of doing it, you know, for our minds. But Shulchan Aruch doesn't work like that, you know, so we hear Baruch Hashem, we find out what the processes are fairly shortly into the Siman, in Dalet and Hey. We've had someone where, you know, we found out, you know, what the process is, you know, after being halfway through the Siman, you found out, but by the way, this is what you do. So the next two Sifim, Dalet and Hey, we'll go back and do them aside again when it comes to just what the processes are. So let's just get the idea what we're talking about. Dalet. Kelim shemishtamshim behem al yedei ha'ur. Kelim which are used directly on the fire without liquid. Shurim v'askalos v'kiratzibem. Shurim are spits. Askalos is like a grate where you would grill something on it. So that they're directly on the fire without any liquid. Sestrichim libun. The kasha them, you have to kasha them with direct heat. Liban hu ad sheyehu nitzotzos nitozin mehem. The definition of liban was that it was heated to the point that sparks would be coming off of the metal. So the poskim say that Moshe says that nowadays our ovens don't do that. Our metal was a better metal than theirs. Their metal wasn't as well compounded, etc. Whatever they were doing. So when it get very very hot, you'd have little sparks of the metal coming off. We don't have that, but that's not indication of us not doing it properly. Comes from Rabbi Yeshua Kilim in the Islam and Kolkach Shen Trash Nisraf Alav Mivachutz. Okay, some say that that's what's referred to in Allah as Liban Gomer, the first one. It means it gets red hot. Some say, well, it's sufficient that it gets hot enough, even though it's not red hot, it's not, no sparks are flying off. It gets hot enough that if you're heating it from one side, if you put a straw on the other side of the metal. Metal is so heated through that the straw would burn. It would combust. Kash, and this is a beloved book, so the kash, you know, has the advantage of it's very thin, so it burns easily. As opposed to a thicker item, it takes longer to burn. So it catches fire easily. I don't know what the temperature of the spontaneous combustion for a kash is. We all know that for paper it's 451, Fahrenheit 451, right? Thanks to Rad Bradbury. So I imagine it's somewhere around that area. So it has to get. But the point is over here is I'm heating it inside, and it has to heat through the metal all the way through. And that's what I said before. They did the blowtorch. It has to heat the whole metal all the way through. That takes time. So you know those you know, pictures. You know they have the rabbi comes in. You know they show you the video of the Pesach Hotel, and they have the rabbi coming in with this big blowtorch. It's very nice, but it doesn't work. Okay, so they say that that's enough, which we refer to this that what this process is called Liban Kal. That's the lesser Liban. Now, so what's the Halmaisa? The two same bins. What do we do? Benayin. We are meaning Kesar Mishana, like the first opinion that it has to be heated to the point of Nitzotzes Nitzotzes Mehem, which is called Liban Gomer. The Chodaber Shadina Beliban. Anything which requires Halachic Liban, you must do the first process. Avodah Shadino b'Hagola, something which Hagola is required. Rak Sheyesh Bo Yistokim, it has cracks. Asher Machmir L'Labnoi, or for whatever reason you want to do Liban because you want to be more careful. For those items with the Iker Psak would have been Hagola, then we follow the second opinion. Sagi b'Liban Kal Kazeh. That's why there you have your word Liban Kal. Okay, so that's you know how we apply it L'Maisa. We'll see later on. Heter Bola allows for Liban Kal. The Hagola would be sufficient. So Liban Kal is, that's going to be how we discuss Chometz. Chatsuba Tzorek Liban. The Chatsuba is the tripod that you make a coal fire. You have a tripod with a ring on top, which you put your pot on. So that's equivalent to what our grates. Actually, in modern Ivrit, the grates on a gas oven, the grates on top which hold the pot are called katsubot. Ken? Okay. That's kelim which are used with direct heat without water, without liquid. Kelim shishamshim behem b'chamen, they were used with hot water. Chamen means hot water. Kvish tashmishan hachsher, and the way they were used, that's how you're going to demakshu them. For example, im tashmishin mekli rishon. If it was something which is used directly in a kli rishon, the kli which is directly on had been on the fire, the spoon which you use to stir the pot, so the only way you can mash them is in a kli rishon. The types of kalims you only normally use in a kli sheni. So your soup spoons, your very large spoons you might use to stir your big pot. A soup spoon is used when you're eating the soup that's ready in a kli sheni. Take it out of the pot, put it into a bowl, and then you use the spoon there. So those you can kasher hekshar a kli sheni. Kli shem mishtamshen by be'erui shemar b'kli rishon. A keli which has a direct pour from a kli rishon. So you have the kli rishon on the fire, then you pour from the kli rishon into the kli sheni. So kli sheni, once the liquid in there, it's a kli sheni, but it receives its liquid by being poured into it from a kli rishon. So it has the power of a kli rishon putting flavor into it. Because that heat of the walls of the kli rishon is heating the water, the liquid as it's coming into my bowl and putting flavor into my bowl from the, so that's called iri kli rishon. Now it's sitting in the kli sheni. I put a spoon in, so that's it's only absorbing it in the status of kli sheni already. But the bowl itself was absorbed through iri kli rishon. So over there, lo sagale beheshu with the kli sheni, being machshir with kli sheni would not be sufficient. So I couldn't make a large kli sheni and immerse this in that. That would not work. I could put it down and pour onto it from the kli rishon. So I heat my kettle over the fire. That's a kli rishon. And I pour onto the item to all over the, every surface of the item to kasher it out that way. All kelim which have cracks, agumas or depressions, a chaluta or rust. And that's in a place which is in the kli. You're not able to clean it out. Lanakron is to dig it out, and the kerson to clean it out. And lagilin, you cannot do hagola. The only age you're going to have to do is libun. Because Liban is not scared by the fact that there's something else there. Okay.